The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
This Friday night, February the 5th, 2016. Welcome in. Let me give out this phone number, 641-715-3660. And the code is 549032. Press pound and then press star 61 if you'd like to offer a comment. Namaste, Aja. How are you?
Namaste, Black Rose. I'm splendid. How are you?
I'm good. Look, I have a new earpiece. Can you hear me pretty good on this one? Do I sound loud?
Yes. Yes. There was an echo, but I'm sure that doesn't have anything to do with your earpiece because I hear it now as I'm speaking.
Yeah, I can hear that.
That is coming off your lines, Sister Rose. I don't know if it has what external speakers or something, but we are hearing the echo.
Okay, let me make sure I have my computer turned down. I do have the computer turned down. Okay, do we still have an echo? Do we still have an echo?
Let me see.
I don't hear an echo with either one of you. You can still hear my echo?
I hear mine.
Okay. Well, I don't hear yours.
Why don't I call back?
Okay, you can call back.
I don't think that is Aja, because I can also hear. No, I don't hear.
Oh.
Yeah,
I don't hear the echo anymore. I heard it at first, but now I don't. I think it was just... You know, we were just coming in so powerful and the energy just so up there. It was just an echo. It was just reverberating just off the planet. I mean, just boom, boom, boom. So we'll just keep it going on. We'll just keep it moving. How you doing, Scotty?
I'm not doing too bad. I could be doing a whole lot better, but I'm not going to complain. Unless I'm complaining to the people that caused my problems.
I hear you. I know that's right. Look,
guys, they need to leave you alone.
They do. Let me come.
They need to leave
my
people alone. Is what they need to do.
Need me what?
Right. He said they need to leave his people alone.
Leave our people.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Leave our people alone. Yeah, we could be in Flint drinking shit water and lead water, so we don't know what the hell we're drinking, but I know in Texas we're drinking radiation water, and Ohio, and it was somewhere else. People are now saying there are high levels of lead, so, you know, I'm just, you know how I do. When I get on something, I'm just, sometimes it just takes over me, and I'm just all over this whole lead thing. Especially
this should be. That's serious.
It's serious. This is something that's quite historic. And it's really unbelievable. It's absolutely unbelievable. And, you know, being here in Michigan for about the past month now, just being right here at Ground Zero, all the bullshit is going on. It's just been crazy. It's really been crazy. And so I was thinking about the question that Scotty posed to us in regards to the EPA that was in Flint. was it at the local level or state level? And from my understanding, because I did stay up and watch parts of the hearing yesterday, you know, they had the hearing on Flint water in D.C. And so from my understanding, with the emergency manager there, the local government no longer has power. Their power has been restrained. However, this EPA person, Susan, I think her name is Susan Hetman. I meant to look it up, but I'm not gonna tell you guys a lot. I had to take a nap, so I didn't have time to do a lot of the research that I wanted to, because I stayed up watching those darn hearings all night long to about 5 o'clock in the morning. But I believe her name is Susan Hedgemon, and she was like this head person with the EPA. And she was notified about the lead in the water, and she was one of the ones that was very dismissive of it. So we don't need to let her be absolved from any guilt or criminal. Because she knew. I think she just recently was forced to resign, and someone right up under her. And so she was a part of this whole deal right along with Snyder. So all of them knew. They had truckloads of water being shipped in to the state capitol for them to drink. While everybody else was drinking lead water and water laden with E. coli. Okay. So, yeah. So they knew. I remember when I first started talking about this before it hit national news, and people were like, oh, well, the governor said he didn't know. And you know, well, that nigga knew. He knew.
Yeah.
He knew a long time ago because GM knew. GM said that it was corroding, the water was corroding their engine parts, their car parts.
Yes, now that's strong.
Metal cars, whatever the hell. Yeah, so if it's corroding damn metal, what the hell do you think it's doing to children? He knew.
Yeah.
The whole deal is to dumb down. I keep telling people this. They're trying to make you a damn zombie and a slave. Well, all you can do is say, how would you like your steak? Medium rare.
Sweetened or unsweetened tea.
Would you
like
sweet or unsweet tea, sir?
Yep.
What else do servers do? Whatever, you know. Would you like me to rub your feet? Would you know, taking you back to the days of being a servant. Because that's all these people are going to be able to do, because your cognitive abilities have been decreased. You're sick as hell.
Drastically.
Yeah, so they're creating a whole generation, a whole slew, a whole pack, a mass of zombies. You don't want to educate the children. Then you have them all sick with health problems. All these people have asthma. Every damn body you meet now have asthma.
Eczema.
They have
asthma.
Yeah, they all have something. If it's not that, then it's diabetes. Everybody's sick.
Yes.
It's just a bunch of sick people. And it's sick that in this so-called land of the free, you got all of these damn sick people where you can't even get free health care.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I'll play a little clip. But I do want to say, before I got on my soapbox and went off on a tangent on the whole Flint water thing, I just can't just get over it. But Maurice White of Earth, Wind, and Fire transitioned yesterday. I did not know that.
Did he?
Yes, he did. You didn't hear that? Yes. He passed. He had Parkinson's disease. I think he was 74.
Damn.
I did not even know the man had Parkinson's disease. You know, we were
doing
an event of fire tip.
A few weeks ago.
A lot of their music and actually analyzing the lyrics to Fantasy.
Right.
So, and Scotty, if you're listening, at some point I would love to play Fantasy, at least a portion of the words. Because that song is a very powerful song. But let's see, Earth,
yes,
Wind, Fire,
yes,
founder Maurice White, whose horn-driven band sold more than 90 million albums and made hits like September, Shining Star, and Boogie Wonderland, died at his home in Los Angeles. His brother, Vernine, said White, who was 74, suffered from Parkinson's disease and had retreated from the public, even as the band he founded kept performing. My brother, hero, and best friend, Maurice White, passed away peacefully last night in his sleep.
Oh, really?
Let's see. While the world has lost another great musician and legend, our family asks that our privacy is respected. Thank you for your prayers. Okay. Earth, Wind, and Fire, a nine-piece band centered featuring the two White brothers, singer Philip Bailey and the distinctive horn section, were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2000. The band's most successful period started with the 1975 album, That's the Way of the World. You know, they used to have some very, very, let me see, how would you say it, vivid and dynamic album covers.
They were very eye appealing. You would study them.
Yes, they were like a work of art.
Because they were so intricate.
Yeah, you
knew that they were saying something to you.
Yes, and as a child, I didn't know all the specifics, but I was able to connect with the album. You know how, because it's in we.
Yes, it is in we.
You know, you have your connection, something, especially children, before they dumb down, before they start going back.
Exactly.
There are things that they just know. Like when I was a child, there were things that I just knew. I just knew things. You know, what is it? Come on, help me with the word. It's one of the Claires. Claircognizance.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Claircognizance. You just know things.
You know.
And so the thing about it is, like with children, notice how, if you think about it, and I said this before, all parents and grandparents, what do they always do about the babies before they turn 5 or 6 and start going to school? They always say, "Ooh, she or he's so smart."
They'll say, "Oh, they've been here before."
They've been here before. Right. So the children, they haven't been damaged yet. They haven't been told that they can't.
They're
still
connected.
They can't fly yet. Right. They haven't been told that they can't fly yet. So
they still have
a spirit in them where they feel like they can ask anything. They should know the answer to it. And they should be able to do anything that they want to do. You know,
and say what they want to say.
They tell the truth. They say what
That looks ugly.
Exactly.
Why does that man dress like that?
You remember that time when Brandon told my daddy, he said, that man so fat. And we were like, Brandon, you can't say that. But, you know, my dad is, he was obese at the time. So the child that was, I don't know how old he was at that time, maybe about 6. And he noticed it, and he just made a comment just as if he was saying
that. And see, plus he was standing there without his shirt on, so he showed all of his body. So, I mean, the child just spoke what he saw.
But I can't
stop laughing.
I know.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so,
anyway.
Yeah, let me finish reading this Earth, Wind, and Fire. And so Maurice White publicly revealed he had Parkinson's disease. I think it was in the 80s, they said. Let me see. Back in the 80s. He stopped touring with the band in 1995 because of weariness from the road combined with his health problems. He said that in 2000, he said he wanted the band's music to inspire instead of just entertain. That was the whole objective, to try to inspire young people to believe in themselves and to follow through on their ideas. He said he touched so many people with these songs. White founded the band Salty Peppers in the Chicago area in the late 1960s and had some modest success in the Midwest. After relocating to Los Angeles, and ditching all of the band members except Verdeen, he renamed the outfit Earth, Wind, and Fire after the three elements in his astrological chart. You know, they always had all of that astrology going on. And then back in the 70s, you know, down in the South, I think we talked about this before. I mean, you pretty much went in everybody's house, and they had Martin Luther King, Kennedy, those little plates in the kitchen, and then they had the living room. You know what I'm saying? And white Jesus, on the wall or on the table, you know, white Jesus.
That big next to the Bible.
On that big white Bible. And I heard they came and collected all of those Bibles, too, because that's where we kept our history and genealogy. But anyway, and then you would see the zodiac signs, the astrological chart, because you had one. So you would see those in the living room, you know. But anyway, let's see. Bailey's bright falsetto defined many of Earth, Wind, and Fire's hits. We experienced pure magic together, Bailey said during the band's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction as he stood next to White. The band's early sound was jazzy, but evolved into an exuberant, horn-driven mix of jazz, funk, gospel, and big band music. Their appeal wasn't just on records, but on stage. Their concerts, a whirl of dancing, fog machines, multicolored lights, and glittery costumes. Earth, Wind, and Fire performed everywhere, from the Super Bowl to the White House.
They would perform anywhere.
Maurice White also had a substantial side career producing other artists, including Barbra Streisand and Cher. I didn't know that. In the 1970s, he co-wrote and co-produced The Emotions' number one hit, Best of My Love. I don't know that either. White was born in Memphis, Tennessee.
Memphis, 1941,
the son of a doctor and grandson of a New Orleans piano player. He showed musical gifts at an early age, studying at the Chicago Conservancy. During the 1960s, he backed Muddy Waters, The Impressions, and others, and worked as a session drummer in Chi-Town. The band performed in the movie Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band and had hits with the ballad After the Love Has Gone. All in All, Let's Screw Tonight, and Fall in Love with Me. The band took a 4-year hiatus in the 80s and then returned. Its primary success then on the road. We live in a negative society, White told Newsweek. At the height of the band's success, most people can't see beauty in love. I see our music as medicine. White's memoir, Head to the Sky, My Life with Earth, Wind, and Fire, is scheduled to be released September 3rd by Amistad. Oh, that's great. Okay. The book features a foreword by Steve Harvey. Oh, Lord. And an afterword by David Foster. Earth, Wind, and Fire are to be honored at the Grammy Awards on February 15th. Okay. Maurice White. He is now with the ancestors. Oh, let me open up Mother Hattie. Hey, Mother Hattie and King B. I see Hot and King on the line with us.
Hey.
Yeah, I was really
hi there. Say everybody.
You forgot.
I was reading and had. That's why I need three computers working over here. I really do. I need three computers so I can, you know, get my thing, get in my groove and in my zone. I can keep it going. So how's everybody?
Well,
excellent, excellent.
Yeah, go for it. I'm sorry. Just emotionally, I cannot believe that my people in this area are so calm, cool, and collective, knowing that our whole city's drinking water was deliberately poisoned, affecting the whole children population of over 9,000.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This is, I call it the crime of the century.
Crime of the
century. It's got to be, I think ISIL would blush knowing that they couldn't poison our whole city and not be called a terrorist victory.
Hmm.
But you got a Jewish governor, Uncle Tom's cohort, or his puppet, and Malcolm said it all. He said, Malcolm said, you don't blame the puppet, you blame the puppeteer.
Hmm.
So this Republican congressional hearing held last past Monday was such a farce because the Republican majority that runs Congress, they could care less about arresting this governor. And the puppet named Darnell Early.
Mm-hmm.
So just watch the scenario where a town called Sebring, Ohio, when those white folks found out that who poisoned their water, legal action was immediately taken.
Yeah. And, you know, people are saying that if the water was poisoned in Grosse Pointe, Michigan, which is a suburb of Detroit, looks completely different from Detroit. I mean, you know when you cross the line. You see the white people walking their dogs and, you know, the streets are nice, the houses are intact.
Is that right?
Oh, yes. It's cute. It's real cute. And so if this had happened in Grosse Pointe, like you said, King B, immediate action. We would have seen immediate action. But did you hear Sheila Jackson Lee? She likened Governor Snyder to Jim Jones.
Yeah, but see, she talks the talk, but she's not going to do anything or to say, I want this governor arrested immediately on site.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't say it. Cummins didn't say it. Eleanor Holmes Norton, she's just a delegate, but she didn't say it. And you got this other woman from, I think she's from Ohio. She didn't say it.
Well, I think who did make a really powerful statement, she's a congressperson from the Virgin Islands.
Oh, yes.
Pulaski or something like that.
Yeah, I know she.
But,
I remember her.
I'm going to play a clip, but let me just give out the number again and introduce the topic, and then we'll get right back into some hot topics, and Delta join us, and then we can move in.
You know, Shopton was there, and he just said a mumbling word.
I saw him sitting there. He'd been hiding under a rock. I guess he had to come out for this because it's so major.
Well, he takes his orders from a higher authority.
This is true. Well, people can call in and share their thoughts. 641-715-3660, and the code is 549032 pound, and press *61 if you would like to speak. Let me just play this quick clip on from the hearing on the Flint water situation. Let's see if we can get this up.
Darnell Early is the former emergency manager for the city of Flint. He's vital to understanding what happened and how these decisions were made. The committee sent Mr. Early an invite letter last week. He knew that this was happening, and he knew as he was invited to appear as a witness before the committee. We were told at, I believe, 7:50 p.m. on Monday night that he would not attend. We're calling on the U.S. Marshals to hunt him down and give him that subpoena.
I never thought this could happen in America in this day and age, in our great country and our great home of Michigan, where we're surrounded by fresh water and the Great Lakes.
I believe that we have a moral obligation to conduct a comprehensive investigation of this crisis. And let's be abundantly clear, it is a crisis. And Cat Stevens said, oh, very young, what will you bring us this time? You're only dancing on this earth for a short time. Oh, very young, what will you leave us this time? And I've often said that our children are the living messages we send to a future we will never see. The question is what will they leave us? And how will we send them into that future?
Flint's my hometown. I grew up in Flint. I raised my children in Flint. When we leave here at the end of every week, I fly home to Flint. I'm a son of this town. And so it breaks my heart to see what's happening. It breaks my heart not just because of what has been inflicted upon the people of Flint, but because it was an entirely avoidable set of circumstances.
The MDEQ's Office of Drinking Water and Municipal Assistant relied on technical compliance instead of assuring safe drinking water. It is noteworthy that the lead and copper rule would have allowed up to 24 months to begin these treatments. It has now become clear that the federal lead and copper rule is outdated and inadequate to protect the public from exposure to lead, especially in communities with aging infrastructure such as Flint.
My home used to be a place of comfort and safety for my family. It used to be what a home should be, a place of peace and protection from the outside world. That was taken from us, and not just from my family, but from every home and every citizen in Flint. Now my home is known as Ground Zero. I started doing independent testing with Virginia Tech, and 30 tests were done, tests that were performed in accordance to the LCR. My average was 2,500 parts per billion. My highest was 13,500 parts per billion. Hazardous waste is 5,000. Regardless of this information and the fact that my son had lead poisoning, the city and the MDEQ still continue to tell everyone the water was safe, as the EPA sat by and watched in silence.
It's important for the EPA to tell the public that they're poisoning their kids if they drink the water.
I absolutely agree.
Then why didn't they do it? They sat on that for almost a year.
Administrator McCarthy issued an elevation policy this January, emphasizing...
This January! They had it for nearly a year. Why did it take a year?
I can't answer that question. All I can say is that they were working with...
Then why don't we fire the whole lot of them? What good is the EPA if they're not going to do that?
That's right. Fire the whole lot of them. Now, this Susan...
The whole lot.
Susan Hammond, the regional administrator of the EPA Chicago-based Region 5. And she submitted her resignation Thursday, February 1, and she stated that she did not notify the public or take similar action, instead only pushing Michigan officials to fix the problem. She told the Detroit News that her office knew in April 2015 that Flint's actions to switch its water supply could cause increased pipe corrosion and spike lead levels.
Yep. Jesus.
So these people knew exactly what they were doing. They're trying to dumb down a whole mass of people, and they don't care about those poor people in Flint, and they want that land. And as soon as they can move them all off that land, then they can go in there and rebuild it and do whatever they want to do with that prime land. Then they'll bring back all the factories and all of that as soon as they can evict all the black people. I mean, just mass eviction, just like New Orleans. That's all. Mass eviction.
When you don't have political or legal protection, this is how you can get done in. The Irish, Italian, and Israeli, they didn't stop until they got it. Marcus Garvey, he meant well. Dr. King, he meant well. So did Malcolm. But there was never the concern that we should be stressing the idea. It's not about civil rights. It's about human rights.
That's right. Let's take a quick break.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling,
visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com. You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For live programming schedules, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Detroit Water to Flint River Water.
Well, as the emergency manager appointed to Flint in, I think it was 2013, it was my responsibility to oversee the decision that had been made regarding the transfer from Flint from DWSD to the Caradonia Water System. That plan was already in place when I got there. In fact, it was a local decision, which was a condition made by the County Drain Commissioner at that time in order for them to be a part of the new system. But I don't want to focus on what happened back in 2013. I think it's important that we mobilize all resources that we can to fix the problem. One of the things that I did do while I was there was I had a consultant come in and take a look at the initial findings based on the difficulty for treating river water. But that was an unintended consequence, and hopefully we can move forward and do what's best for the people of the city of Flint.
Did you sign off on the changeover?
That was all done before I got there.
So you had no input on that at all?
Not at all. It fell to me to implement the plan that had been approved by the council, and part of that plan included using the Flint River as a water source. And that was a part of the organizational change in the water supply from Detroit to Flint River, Caradonia, using Flint River in the interim.
Did you think it might be dangerous?
Well, it didn't fall to me to second-guess that issue. I mean, there's always concerns when you're treating water. River water is difficult, more difficult to treat, but it wasn't my role to act as the person responsible for determining what that involved.
The resolution called for the switchover to KWA, but as far as I know, it didn't say anything about Flint water. Wasn't that your decision?
No, it was not my decision. That was a part of the plan that was presented to me, which at the time included using the Flint River as a water source. If you'll read the executive order signed by the previous emergency manager, it speaks to upgrading the treatment plant for the treatment of Flint River water. That was all in place before I got there.
So your hands are clean on this?
Well, what I'm saying is that it was a local decision made, and we'll do what we can to make sure that, as the state is concerned, to make sure that that problem is addressed.
In retrospect, should you have been more aggressive about it?
Well, I think in retrospect, if we all had, 2020 hindsight, we'd do a lot of things different. But I think it was important at the time to make sure that the people of Flint had a water source, because the 50-year contract with DWSD had terminated.
Did you terminate that contract early?
No, I did not terminate it early. It ran out after 50 years. What happened was it was terminated by DWSD because of the decision that was made to go to KWA. Again, with the Flint River as a water source in the interim, which was decided before I got there.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Okay. Yeah. Gone out early. The emergency manager. Zola, you have mind, body,
yes,
spirit,
yes,
for us?
Okay. Okay, okay. I'm just still baffled at that last little interview, how he was just shoving off the responsibility of what he was supposed to do. His role, that's not his role. He was not to be concerned about testing the water and making sure.
Yeah, I mean, he's very arrogant and very dismissive.
Very arrogant.
When we were in a meeting with him and some of his staff people about 2 weeks ago, one of his staff persons had the audacity, after they're sitting here in front of these people telling them how they're going to cut their pay and the city is broke and can't make payroll and all of this stuff, one of his staff persons had the audacity to sit on the stage with some $1,500 shoes.
Wait a minute, say that again. My earpiece fell out.
One of his staff persons had the audacity to sit on the stage as they were telling these people that they're not going to pay payroll and Everybody's got to make sacrifices, blah, 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 blah. She's sitting on top of the, sitting on the stage with some, damn, $1,500 designer shoes. I mean, you could have lived in these places.
No.
You know, don't flaunt it. And
rub it all in their faces.
Yeah, they're having to work two jobs to make ends meet, and they haven't seen a pay increase in 10 years. And you walking around here kicking your heels up and crossing your legs with some red bottom shoes. Mm-mm.
Wow.
Yeah, these people.
The audacity.
Yeah. Well, I heard that when it was time to vote for the governor, Rick Snyder, from some people who I met at my church this past Sunday, they were from Detroit. They said, blacks stayed home. They are the swing vote that could have caused a defeat for Rick Snyder. But because blacks, I don't know if the black pastors were paid to play it down about extolling blacks to come out to vote against this Republican. But for some strange reason, the swing vote went fishing. So many times, an oppressed people not caring to deal with preserving security for their unborn generation, even for the present generation, they will work against their own interests. Still don't understand that a no vote is a vote.
Excuse me. Speaking of voting, so Hillary Clinton will be in Flint on Sunday.
Please. Oh, really?
Yes, she'll be in Flint on Sunday.
She get her nerves.
Of course, and the black people to get out and vote for her because she's
Remember me, I'm a Clinton.
You black folks love me, Clinton.
No one's going to talk
I'm
about
Clinton.
No one wants to talk about how the Clintons are screwing up the Haitian people or trying to deny them self-determination. They got this hand-picked would-be politician that they want to thrust down the throats of the Haitian people, and the Haitian people said, hell to the no. So,
hell to the no-no.
Yeah, she's running two campaigns, one for her and one for this clown stooge down in Haiti. January 1st, 1804, Haiti celebrated its anniversary of independence as far as victory against Napoleon with this, you know what. And they have been paying for it ever since with the aid of this government, France, of course, and Canada. So she has the unmitigated gall to come to a – is she going to bring any fresh water? I don't think so. Is she going to call for the governor, Rick Snyder, to be arrested? I don't think so. But you're going to see some chest-eyed smiling blacks. So eager, celebrating to know that they could vote for this dear woman named Hillary Clinton.
now, Candy, you know, everybody's familiar with the Clinton machine, and the black people going to vote for Hillary regardless.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, well, because she's our leader. She is for our people. I mean, we can't forget Bubba. That's Bubba's wife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, they're going to vote for Hillary. I'm voting for Bernie Sanders if I go and vote for anybody.
Amen.
I'm just not voting for
Hillary. It's just, Hillary is such a terrible liar.
They all lie, but she's just a real bad liar. Though.
She's like in your face liar.
I can't stomach her. I mean, I just can't do it. I can't stomach.
I wouldn't trust my kitten with my puppy. I wouldn't trust my kitten. With her. She is what we call epitome of evil.
Yeah, Hillary, she's something else. But I tell you one thing I do like about Hillary Clinton. Boy, she sure can get up there and plead her case, and she'll have you thinking she just righteous as all get out. I mean, if you want to learn how to get over on people, she's a good person.
Study her.
She's a good person to study. Now, I will give her that.
She's a con artist.
Yes, she is.
She's an expert con artist.
Yes, she is. She will flip-flop. I mean, if like last year she said she was a moderate, Now she's saying she's the progressive and Bernie's not a progressive. I mean, just whatever way to win.
Imagine
Lord, that's Hillary. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's Hillary. That's uh-huh. her. I mean, she's a master. And one thing, because I watched her biography, one thing about Hillary Clinton that stayed with me in watching her biography, she said that when she was a child, it was mandatory that they sit down at the table and have dinner together, and they would have read the paper, and they would discuss politics and different news topics at the dinner table. That's all they discussed. So she learned how to communicate her thoughts and ideas and her feelings and at a very young evolution. Yes, yes, yes. Be able to articulate different political views. And
yes,
she learned that at an early age. And Hillary was one of those ones, like we were talking about the other night. She was groomed as a child, all the way up, groomed. Law school, groomed. Mm-hmm. You know, just groomed for this. So she will probably be president because she has been preparing for this all her life. But see, my thing is, just like I said about when she was running against Barack Obama in 2008, she already been president. So how's she running again? I mean,
see, her vanity.
Her
vanity leads her. And see, she does whatever Bill tells her to do. You're going to get two for the price of one.
Mm-hmm.
Bill will be giving her all of the advice that she will need and some. Because what they're doing in Haiti, it's a collective mentality between the two of them. They own thousands of acres of land. They built two skyscraper hotels in Port-au-Prince. They could care a fig about suffering black people who are going to have years of suffering with poisonous water. Not one pipe. Now she goes there. Where's she going there, Ashana?
She's going to Flint.
I said, when is she going to Flint?
Oh, on Sunday. This Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah, she's going to hustle the churches. She has no concern. Might even bring some spear ribs.
Wait a minute. And she's going to do the nay-nay. They said she's been doing the nay-nay everywhere she go around the black people.
Oh, she's good for that.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a cat.
Ellen doing that.
Yeah, that's like a cat taking a cat with catnip. I never met a cat that can't resist catnip. And our people just love Hillary, and they just love Bubba. So, you know, like...
See, Clinton told her to appeal to their sense of culture.
Yeah.
He got on the Arsenio Hall show and played that horn. They just fell in love. First black president. Oh, we just love him.
And he put on some shades.
Put on the shades. Did his head kind of little sway a little bit like he was cool. He bought him hook, line, and sinker.
You see, the mainstream media also gives him a boost because the mainstream media says nothing about countering the bull. Who are the Clintons really bamboozling? They have done nothing for blacks while he was president of the United States. He, matter of fact, he made welfare worse than it had nothing better to offer. He destroyed welfare as we knew it, but had nothing better to offer. Then you've got the situation where he's for the death penalty, and so is she.
And then the three-strike thing. He came up with the three-strike thing.
Oh, and don't forget how he just sister soldier in front of Jesse Jackson. Didn't tell Jesse. Listen, I just want you to put your heads up. I'm going to get on Sister Soldier's case. He's giving you a heads up. He didn't tell that nothing had Jesse Jackson, nothing. Jesse Jackson sitting there like a real dummy. He was so shocked. Couldn't believe that Bubba would do such a thing.
Yeah. Hey, look, let's go ahead and do our mind, body, and spirit so we can get into our topic, speaking about rerun loves, the do-overs, and should you wait for sex? Well, how long should you wait for sex? So, Aja, come on, bring us the mind, body, and spirit, and then get into this topic.
All right. Tonight, the mind, body, and spirit, I have a new segment called Rhythms, and we'll be talking about some lyrical angels. But tonight I want to talk about music and its importance to African people. Music is a form of communication, and it plays a functional role in African society. So songs accompany marriage, birth, rites of passage, hunting, and even political activities. Music is often used in different African cultures to ward off evil spirits and to pay respects to good spirits, the dead, and ancestors. Although the musical styles and instruments vary from region to region, there are some common forms of musical expression. The most significant instrument in African music is the African drum. It expresses the mood of the people and evokes emotion. The beat of the African drum is the heartbeat of the community, and its rhythm is what holds the dancers together. Prior to dancing, it is customary for the dancers to show honor and respect to the drummers, and again after the dance. The drumming sound connects with the earth, and the earth sends the beat back up to the dancers. It is a very special connection. For over a century, drumming was not permitted in African communities among African people. In much of the new hip-hop of today, there is the absence of the significant drum. When first brought to North America during the 1600s and 1700s, slaves from the west coast of Africa used drums to communicate with each other in much the same way as they did at home, sending coded rhythmic messages Europeans could not understand over long distances. In this way, slaves held in different encampments could stay in contact and rebellions could be planned. But after some time, the masters realized that the drums could talk. Quote, "It is absolutely necessary to the safety of this province that all due care be taken to restrain Negroes from using or keeping of drums, which may call together or give sign or notice to one another of their wicked designs and purposes." This was the Slave Code of South Carolina, Article 36, Number 1740. Starting on the plantations of the Carolinas and Georgia, this ban soon spread across the United States. Without drums, slaves used whatever was around to make beats, spoons, washboards, furniture, and their own bodies with hand clapping, drumming on various surfaces of the body, which was called patting juba, and foot stomping and shuffling, which was called ring shout. Quote, "It always rouses my imagination," wrote Linda Parrish of the Georgia Sea Islands in 1942, "to see the way in which the McIntosh County shouters tap their heels on the resident floor to imitate the beat of the drum that their forebears were not allowed to have." Quote unquote. We're not lying down without a fight, people. We're going to keep our music that meant something, that had hidden messages in the forefront. Once it's on tape, it lives forever. So here at the Lotus Place, we're introducing a new conscious segment to our platform called Salute Lyrical Angels, light beings with messages through lyrics. Each week, we will salute a lyrical angel, whether with us or in another realm, and we will discuss their lyrics and some unknown facts about their life, beginning with the prolific, gifted, and very charming Marvin Gaye. What's going on? What's going on? We'll also have some music from the very controversial Erykah Badu, the man Michael Jackson, Tupac, Keep Your Head Up, Brenda's Having a Baby. Yes, Earth, Wind, and Fire, Fantasy, Lauryn Hill, Jill Scott, and my queen, I love her, Sade. Didn't know what it meant to be black until they gave him his chance. Change, didn't want to touch his hand. So that was good. All right, so that is my MBS for tonight. So Love This Place family, look forward to our new segment where we will salute our lyrical angels and get the messages that they were sending to us through their gifts of lyrical sound.
Through music.
Music is powerful.
Very powerful. Very powerful.
It's a universal language.
Absolutely. Icy Hot, you have any updates for us? Any news you'd like to share?
No, just the Flint stuff is on my mind, too.
It is. Okay, well, I'll tell you what, since it's on your mind, it's on my mind, and we'll get into our topic right after our break. Let me share this one, whereas, what's her name, Sheila Jackson Lee, says there's a Jim Jones in Michigan. Let's see. Oh, that file doesn't
want to
play. You
got to
play file. Let me see.
Here on Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermeen Sheikh.
We turn now to the ongoing investigation into the Flint, Michigan water crisis. Congress held its first hearing Wednesday on lead poisoning in Flint's water supply. The crisis began after an unelected emergency manager, appointed by Republican Governor Rick Snyder, switched the source of Flint's drinking water to the corrosive Flint River. Flint's former emergency manager, Darnell Early, refused to testify at yesterday's hearing, despite a subpoena. On Tuesday, Early announced he was resigning from his current position as emergency manager of the Detroit Public Schools. Republican Congressman Jason Chaffetz of Utah, chair of the U.S. House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform, which convened the hearing, said of Early that he would direct U.S. Marshals to, quote, hunt him down and serve him with a subpoena. Among those who did testify were Keith Cray, Snyder's handpicked appointee to run the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality, or MDEQ, and Joel Bouvet, Deputy Assistant Administrator for the Environmental Protection Agency's Office of Water. Bouvet faced tough questioning from Congressman Chaffetz.
It's important for the EPA to tell the public that they're poisoning their kids if they drink the water.
I absolutely agree.
Then why didn't they do it? They sat on that for almost a year.
Administrator McCarthy issued an elevation policy this January, emphasizing...
This January! They had it for nearly a year. The EPA administrator went to Flint yesterday. The EPA first went to her home in February of last year. Why did it take a year?
I can't answer that question. All I can say is that they were working with...
Then why don't we fire the whole lot of them? What good is the EPA if they're not going to do that? If you're not going to tell the citizens, my daughter, okay, she's getting married... I'll get emotional about that. She's moving to Michigan. Are you telling me that the EPA, knowing that they're putting lead in the water, there's lead in the water, that they're not going to tell those kids? Because that's exactly what happened.
The poisoning began in April 2014 after Darnell Early, Flint's fourth emergency manager, switched Flint's water source to the long-polluted Flint River in a bid to save money. For over a year, Flint residents complained about the quality of the water, but their cries were ignored. Early last year, and maybe earlier, the government knew of tests showing alarming levels of lead in the water, but officials told residents there was no threat. Flint resident Leanne Walters was one of the first to sound the alarm about lead contamination in the water. She testified at Wednesday's hearing.
I started doing independent testing with Virginia Tech, and 30 tests were done, tests that were performed in accordance to the LCR. My average was 2,500 parts per billion. My highest was 13,500 parts per billion. hazardous waste is 5,000. Regardless of this information and the fact that my son had lead poisoning, the city and the MDEQ still continue to tell everyone the water was safe as the EPA sat by and watched in silence.
The EPA's silence was not for lack of effort, at least on the part of one official, EPA employee Miguel Del Toro, alarmed by the amount of lead he found in Leanne Walters' water, issued a memo to the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality, warning about lead contamination, a memo that Walters made public. Del Toro was taken off the case by his EPA superior, who has since been forced to resign. Walters then teamed up with Virginia Tech scientist Mark Edwards, testing on the more than 300 samples they collected from Flint's residents revealed Flint's water supply was unsafe. As lawmakers questioned MDEQ and EPA officials about compliance with standards established by the Safe Drinking Water Act and the Lead and Copper Rule, the concealing of information and the failure to notify residents of a public health emergency, the committee also attempted to uncover what agency or individual was ultimately responsible for the decision to switch Flint's water supply. Congressman Elijah Cummings, a Democrat from Maryland, questioned MDEQ Chief Keith Cree about an oft-repeated assertion that Flint City Council ordered the switch.
We reviewed the resolution passed by the City Council and the minutes from the meeting. At no point during the meeting did the City Council vote to allow the Flint River to be used for drinking water. Isn't that correct, Ms. Cree?
I haven't reviewed those personally, but that's my understanding.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to introduce into the record a letter we just received yesterday from Sheldon A. Neely, who served on the City Council from 2005 to 2014. He was actually there. He was there, Mr. Craig. In his letter, Mr. Neely explains that the City Council did not make the decision to use the Flint River because, quote, the Flint City Council had no power to actually enact any laws for the community. Everything went through the emergency manager. End of quote.
Flint has been under emergency management since 2011, when Michigan Governor Rick Snyder appointed the first of what would be four emergency managers to deal with Flint's financial crisis. The fourth emergency manager appointed by Snyder, Darnell Early, decided to save $5 million by switching to the Flint River as the city's water source, and they use the Detroit water source for more than 50 years. The change will now cost upwards of $1.5 billion by most accounts, including replacing Flint's entire water system, loss of revenue, the cost of bottled water, the cost of caring for children who now live with the effects of elevated blood lead levels and worse, lead poisoning.
If this sounds criminal, several lawmakers at Wednesday's hearing agree. Texas Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee raised the specter of a 1970s cult leader who led the mass murder-suicide of his more than 900 followers, nearly 300 of them children.
As I sit here today, the memories of a Jim Jones who gave a poison concoction to children causes me to say that there is a Jim Jones in Michigan who gave a poison concoction to children and their families. If any of us should demand accountability, we should. Mr. Edwards, you have given a recounting of just not putting phosphate in water. And I know that you are not a judge or a jury, and I know you're a man that believes in the Constitution, but if you had to reflect, would you say that there were criminal activities or results of this inaction?
If it's not criminal, I don't know what is.
I join you in that questioning, and I have asked the Department of Justice to investigate individuals that may be engaged criminally, to hold them criminally responsible for the actions in Flint, Michigan.
Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee, Democrat from Texas, speaking with Virginia Tech's Mark Edwards. While many Michigan residents have called on Michigan Governor Rick Snyder to resign over the crisis, he was not asked to testify at yesterday's hearing. Maryland Congressman Elijah Cummings asked why.
The problem is that today we are missing the most critical witness of all, the governor of the state of Michigan, Rick Snyder. He is not here. Governor Snyder was the driving force behind Michigan's emergency manager law
which he signed in 2011 and invoked to take over the city of Flint from his local elected leaders. The governor handpicked appointees to run the city, and they decided to use water from the Flint River. They also led the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality, which failed to protect the people of Flint, according to the governor's own task force charged with investigating this crisis. There's a fellow who had a song that I used to love. He never had any hits in my district, but he sang the song. He said, and his name was Cat Stevens. And Cat Stevens said, "Oh, very young, what will you bring us this time? You're only dancing on this earth for a short time. Oh, very young, what will you leave us this time?" And I've often said that our children are the living messages we send to a future we will never see. The question is what will they leave us? And how will we send them into that future? Will we send them strong? Will we send them hopeful? Will we rob them of their destiny? Will we rob them of their dreams? No, we will not do that.
That was Democratic Congressman Elijah.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For live programming schedules, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Back here at the Lotus Place, and we're getting ready to delve into our topic for tonight. Rerun love. When love calls, when old love calls, do you answer? And how long should you wait to have sex with someone? So, Zola, talk to us about this topic. Hello. Oh, we still have Mother Zola. Zola, can you hear me?
I had myself on mute so I wouldn't make noise.
Oh, okay.
All right. So earlier this week we had a quote. We shared a quote with the listening audience, and we said, "When the past calls, don't answer. It has nothing new to say." So what we want to know from our listening audience tonight, sometimes the past does call in the form of a former lover, a former partner. And this could lead to some serious, you know, situations like do you go back to a relationship that didn't work the first time? Do you repeatedly go back to the same person knowing that the same problem still exists? Some people are just so used to being in pain, they don't know anything else. And so they're constantly getting themselves into situations, the same situation. And then sometimes you take people back, maybe because the sex was good, but you know that they're going to emotionally send you up and down and all around. Then sometimes you know what the problem is, and they will say, I promise that I've changed, that they won't do whatever it was they did to cause the breakup. And if you were really emotionally hurt, if it could be a man or a woman, if you were really emotionally hurt but felt that they needed a second chance, do you keep taking them back? Some people do that. Are you addicted to pain? Do you feel you deserve it? And this is not, I want to distinguish, you know, this is not the same as a booty call, okay? Because if someone calls you like 10 o'clock, 10:30, you know, on, then lover or not, you know, past lover or whatever, you pretty much know what that is. That's not, I want to get back with you. It's what I want to get in the bed with you. So that's different. So nobody calls. This is a person that wants to get back into your life and be your partner. Do you take them back after it failed? And then sometimes people take folks back because they're lonely, very lonely.
You know what? Now, that's one thing. Now, I may have made a ton of mistakes and repetitive mistakes in relationships, but that's one thing I have never done is, like, gone back to an old lover or rekindled an old flame or something like that. Because generally for me, and this is how my love life has worked in the past, generally, like, when the breakup happens, it's been so hurtful to me that it's just no way in the world I've even thought about rekindling anything with that person. So, you know, and it never, ever fails. It never fails. When I've been in relationships and someone's, like, broken my heart, violated me in some kind of way, I promise you, within 6 months to a year, they literally come crawling back. It never fails. I'm like, so now you figure it out. You know, but it's bad. Because I'm the type of person, once you make me cry, once you hurt my feelings, it's a wrap.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care how much I like you and so into you, think about you all the time and whatever. But once you hurt me, God forbid you make that little tear drop. God forbid you make that little tear shed on my pillow at night. Like the church people say, joy cometh in the morning. What, weeping may have been for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I swear, I promise you, baby, I may weep that night, but I promise when I get up the next day, baby, you forgotten about, gone, it's a wrap. Delete it out my phone, delete it out my mind. I'm done. I'm completely done. You may cross my mind, but that's what you do. It's cross it. And that's
cross it.
That's all you do. You cross it, and baby, I shake it off, and I move on, and you know, I just that's how I'm made up. I'm just made up that way. You hurt me, bye Felicia, bye Felipe, bye all of it, bye. For me, I mean, I want to hear from other people because I already know about me, and I've just shared what I would do, my thoughts. No, I don't go back. No, well, and it's probably just because nobody has been worthy of me going back to. Now, if they were worthy, then maybe I would.
Yeah, yeah,
maybe I would.
Yeah. That's a good point. That's a good point.
The people that I've been in a relationship with, and once they hurt me and all that, I mean, they weren't worthy. I can go all the way back to one of my very first boyfriends that broke up with me because I wouldn't have sex with him, and he went and had sex with the new girl in school who was like this little slutty girl who was, you know, already having sex. And most of us, we weren't having sex. We were young. And so he broke up with me because I wouldn't have sex with him. And sure enough, he came crawling back. I mean, even up into my adult years when I would run into him, he would be like, "You need to get back together. You know, my mama loves you." And da-da-da. I'm like, "God, please." You know.
No way.
That was so long ago, and I'm so over you, and, you know.
So over you.
Lame. Yeah, so, no, but, yeah, for other people, you know, we would like to hear what you have to say, though. What would you do, Anja?
Well, mine is actually a repeat of you. It really is. I mean, I have made some foolish decisions, foolish choices, and dropping my standards, you know, saying, well, he is trying, he is going to school, you know, blah, blah, blah. But when it comes to the goodbye, by the time I'm ready to say goodbye, they're already done. They're already done. It's like I asked you once, told you twice. I don't even say I'm going to leave you. I don't say we're going to break up. You know, I just let it be known that I don't like such and such. If you do such and such again, that's disrespect. You don't give a damn.
Yeah.
I'm a do like Sade. Wash you off my skin. And it's a wrap. I could see a person that I thought I was just so into.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't jerk my head around or snub my nose or do anything. I just look at them like I'm looking at a wall and it's a little fly on the wall and I'm wondering if the fly is gonna move. That's how I think of them. It's just it's like no.
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. No. You had your opportunity. Mm-hmm. I may have had some self-esteem issues, but I know this was a prize.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't go back.
I see, Hannah, are you still there with us? What about you? You ever went back and dipped back into that cookie jar? I see how it must be on mute too.
Mm-hmm.
I see how you're on mute. We don't hear you. We don't hear you sharing your answer with us. But you dip back into that cookie jar.
She was dedicated to her one lover.
Oh, well, we have Delta Cougar here. Let's see.
Can y'all hear me?
Delta. Yeah, I didn't know you were there. How are you, Delta?
Yeah, I kept saying, can you hear me? How everybody doing tonight?
Oh, I'm wonderful. How are you doing, Deb?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, they're going to lay my mother to rest tomorrow at 11
tomorrow.
O'clock.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about me, say a little word of prayer at 11.
Oh,
okay.
But you know, the show must still go on. Business is business. You know, I love my mother, and she was a great mother, and couldn't ask for a better mother, you know, and I know everybody in the world thinks their mother is the best, and there's nothing wrong with that, cheering, honoring their parents.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
This is one of my hot topics tonight.
Okay.
About the young man. Ooh, let me turn my light on. Hold on, y'all. About the young man. Oh, let me see. I got it right here. The young man, he was, his mother was originally from Chicago. And they live in like a different part of Chicago. And this young man was 22 years old. And y'all may have heard about the story a while back, but now they're getting ready to have his trial. His trial is getting started. It's been 2 years now he's been in jail. This young man was an only child. And they said that his mother worked extremely hard and owned a hair salon, a black boy. And you know, black women, we take pride in our boys. And he was an only child, and they said his mother just catered to him and gave him everything he wanted. But then they said his mother got to the place she wanted him to get out and work. She wasn't catering to him like that anymore. This young man came up with a plot with two more of his friends. day he killed his own mother, this young man did. And he killed his mother because he wanted the insurance money to buy him new tennis shoes, new clothes. And that is why he killed his mother. It is so sad that the things our kids will do today. But this same young man, they said his father is in jail for a drug charge. Plus, his father set a house on a fire. He did an arson and said this boy's father killed two people because they got burned up in the house. They got burned up in the house. And it's so sad. It is so sad that what our young folks would do to us today for a dollar bill.
Oh,
this young man, now he following in his footsteps. His dad is in prison for life. Prison for life. For burning a house down and two people was inside. Now this same young man, the dad is in there. Now the son is in there for killing the mother. Killing his own mother because he wanted to live a certain lifestyle with his friend. And his mother was trying to make him work.
She was trying to do what?
She was trying to make him work. Make him earn a living. Make him work for it. The mother wouldn't cater to him anymore. And she was trying to make him work. The young man didn't
You know what my thoughts are on some of these children's situations? We cannot always blame the children. Children don't come here as evil people. We don't know what kind of childhood that child has been through. The father, he's in jail, you say, for killing two people. What has this child been exposed to, and what has this mother been giving this child all this time for him to place so much emphasis on tennis shoes and wearing fine clothes? Children don't come into this world with a sick mind unless there's some kind of mental damage, brain damage. But we have to look at the environment, like these children in Flint. When they, in 10, 15 years from now, because of this damage that's been done to them through this water, they're going to be doing all kinds of things. And people are going to say, those terrible children, they're just this and they're just that. And then they're not taking in consideration what happened to these children. What happened to them? What are we doing to our children?
You're right, man. You're right.
Where are we? Where did we drop the ball? You know, I mean, my girlfriend, she lives around the corner. Her boyfriend that she lives with has a son, and the mother drops him off at the corner, not at the house, at the corner, and the little boy is 5 years old, can barely speak. His duffel bag reeks of smoke, so the lady, my friend, has to just kind of leave it out on the porch, let it air out. He reeks of smoke, and then they take him to the daycare center, and they have to go to the daycare center at least once a day because the little boy is acting up, pointing his finger, telling the daycare center, "You bitch! You bitch!" And he can barely speak. But he can say bitch really well. What is the environment at the child's home?
He needs a good spanking sound like to me.
Oh, his mother is raising him like this. They evidently smoke all the time. The mother will not touch him. She said she will not discipline her child. She has made this clear. So look at how he's growing up. Once he's in daycare right now, but once he gets into elementary school, they're not going to have that. He's bit somebody. He has slapped somebody. Oh, those mothers are going to call the police on that child. But they're going to blame the child. You know who I'm talking about, don't you, Black Rose?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, part of the problem, like what you're saying, a lot of these children, they're coming out of these dysfunctional families.
Okay, but can I ask a question right quick, Black Rose, when you just said these families, but can I ask the question? I want everybody to give their honest opinion. Is Icy Hot on the line?
Yep.
Okay, now I want, because Miss Hattie, Icy Hot always have a good opinion. Okay, what can we say about kids who never been exposed to nothing, who had the proper upbringing, but still chose to go a certain way? What can we say about those kids?
Well, peer pressure.
Peer pressure.
Yes, they're exposed to something.
We're all exposed to something. I mean, it's called your life experiences. Whatever you experience or see every day, that's what you're exposed to. So they're exposed to something. It could be the television. It could be music. It could be what they hear their uncle in the room saying by the door.
Uh-huh.
It could be, you know, mom and dad fighting in the other room, but then they come out and smile and kiss and hug like everything is fine, which is
uh-huh.
confusing as hell to a child.
Yes, it is.
Right. So they're exposed to something. So, I mean, you know, we just can't really know exactly what they're exposed to. But look, we're kind of going off the topic, and we only have 30 minutes.
Okay,
Jessica,
okay,
we're late
okay.
with them hot topics now. So we got to get on our love show topic.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
We're going to talk about that. That's okay, because we have a letter for you, too. So that's why I want to
okay.
talk about our
okay.
topic and then get to your letter. But we got another little hot topic for us that you can give us in about 2 minutes or so.
Another one. Well, this lady, this black lady came from Brazil, and two men came to kill her, and her husband sent her outside, and the two men kidnapped her, but her husband knew they was going to do it, but they took her off to kill her. But when the lady began to talk to the men, the men decided wasn't going to kill the lady. The men told the lady, your husband sent us to assassinate you. The lady said no, she didn't believe that her husband sent them. So they let her husband hear the voice. I mean, they let her hear the voice of her husband saying that he wanted her dead. So then what happened was the lady, she went along with it, and the men had a heart. They said they couldn't kill the lady because the lady was nice, and they don't kill women. The men said they don't harm women. So they didn't kill her. So, but what happened was they led their husband believe that she was dead. So they was having her funeral, and the husband was falling out and rolling and like, he, you know, he couldn't take it, and she got up and walked in the room, and he was so stunned he couldn't believe it. He wanted to know how she was still living. But the moral to the story is what I take away from it is the two men decided. They took the man money, the husband money. To kill
background
them.
Noise. Background noise.
Okay. I was wondering what that was. The two men took the husband's money. But the moral of the story, I like the idea where the men told the woman, we do not harm women. We do not harm no hair on a woman's head. We do not believe in hurting no woman no kind of way. And that's one reason why her life was spared, because the men told her they didn't go along with hurting a woman.
Uh-huh.
And that is so sad. What would make her husband want to kill her?
They've been doing it for a long time. When the so-called pilgrims came over here, so they say, I remember reading a section in one of the history books where one of those men killed his wife and put flour on her and fried her up and ate her. They were so hungry and starving. So they've been killing people for a long time. It's crazy. But thank you, Delta.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. People want the insurance money. They get tired of people or whatever, and they just want to get out of the relationship. I don't know why you just don't step away.
Uh-huh. You right.
Just walk. Just walk away. And don't look back.
Yeah, you right.
Great segue into the topic. So walking away, looking back. So Delta and Icy Hot. Well, Delta, you're just joining us. We were asking Icy Hot about returning to an old flame. Would you go back to an old flame? Would you revisit an old love? Would you rekindle that fire that kind of burned down a little bit? Would you rekindle that fire?
I would think about going back to a husband that I had and had divorced, but I would just think about it. I would probably not do it because you'd still have the same issues, and so if you want healthiness, you have to try for it in another way other than a way that you haven't already experienced. That's what I think.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Well.
What about you, Delta?
Well, I think like a relationship. It's so funny now about relationships. And by the way, we were just talking today. So I was talking to a young lady about a relationship. Relationships are so hard to really come back, because a lot of the young folks don't even consider they are in relationships. They consider themselves booty calls. They consider themselves like friends with benefits. They are not worried about relationships like people our age. We more tune in relationships, like looking for a man who not only meet us mentally, we want a man mentally, we want a man spiritually, we want a man financially, we want a man to be there, we want a man to be a provider, we want a man to be a lover, we want a man to be your confidant, you want him to be your best friend, and that's what we look for in a relationship. But now the young folks is where the new modern day is sex and open relationships. I never seen so many young folks saying today they in a open relationship. And where I get this from is all you got to do is listen to some of these young nieces and nephews. These children are in open relationships. And they don't.
But what about you, Delta Cougar? Would you go back to one of those past lovers? These kids are mixed up.
Okay,
we're talking about going back.
That was the question. Okay, I didn't hear that part. Would I go back? No,
okay.
I didn't. I didn't hear it. I'm sorry, I didn't hear it.
Okay.
Would I go back? Yeah, I have done.
Yeah.
Let me give you a perfect example. Yes,
when
my first husband passed away, a young man that I dated when I was younger, before I met my husband, and I worshipped, I worshipped the ground he walked on. And I mean, I if he'd have told me jump off the moon, I would have done it, because that's how young and silly I was.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how young and silly I was back then. But when my husband died, me and him tried to you know, we pick it up from where we left off, thinking, you know, we 20 years later, we can pick up where we left off. But no, take a guess what? I had grown one way, and he had grown another way. And my way was, this was my biggest thing that I had with him, is he was going to tell me how to spend my husband's money. That he was going to come in and take control over the finance. Now, don't get me wrong now. He worked every day and he still works now. He's a hard-working man. But he wanted me to put he wanted to put all the money together, but he had to say so. And so I wasn't used to that, because my first husband, me and him had an equal partnership. We would sit down and talk it out. You don't just come in and tell me that you're going to go, you know, you're going to come in, you're going to do this. But, yeah, a lot of times you do go back, and some people work out with it and some people don't. And like in my case, it didn't work out. I moved on. After a while, I moved on. I figured it wasn't for me anymore. At that time in my young life, I mean, I thought it was it, but no. But now, I mean, like I said, I did go back. But when you go back, a lot of times you be on road. You be on road, going your separate ways. Because the older you get, the more mature you're going to do. The thing
sometimes
you
they want to come back like 6 months or so. You know, they think that you will have forgotten what they did, or get to missing them, or something like that.
Okay, now you got some young folks, and I say young because I don't think people once our age, I don't think we'll continue to let a person run backwards and forwards, but the young folks today, they can go and stay for 2 or 3 weeks, and then they turn around and they can come right back. And you know how I know this? I see it with this boy, my baby boy, and this girl. And this girl is crazy about my baby boy. She'll let my boy go and do whatever he wants, and then he'll stay gone for about 2 months or whatever, and my boy can walk right back to her. And I told her, I said, look, you got to put your feet down. I said, you can't let him continue to treat you like this. I said, you have your own place, your own car, you work, you take care of yourself. You don't have to settle for this. Mm-hmm. You choose to settle. So it's some people choose to go back, and some people content with it. It's all right.
Go ahead, Delta, finish that, and then we need to take a quick station break, and then we can pick
it's
right
all
back
right
up.
To go back if you think you can make it work. But if you can't make it work, don't use too much of your time, because you getting old and I'm getting old. And after a while, the pump and the prime ain't going to go up no more like it used to.
Whatever that means. Lord,
Miss Hattie know what it means.
Oh, okay, let's take a quick break.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
All right.
Yeah.
Let me share this quickly. Let me see. So, you know, Delta, you were talking about Jada Pinkett Smith, Will Smith's wife. Will Smith was not nominated for an Oscar for his
great performance in that movie Concussion. I actually did see that, and I rarely.
It was good.
Yeah, he did an outstanding job in that one. So we know Jada came out with her YouTube statement in terms of boycotting the Oscars, and really, to me, her statement, like she clarified later, was more about us taking back our own power and just doing things for ourselves and having our own, more so of it being about let's boycott the Oscars. She more so made the statement. That's what I took away from it. Let's think about doing our own and regaining our power, which I think was very powerful in and of itself.
That's
basically, to me, really what she was saying. That's the way I took it. Uh-huh. That's what I really took it to be, too.
Me too. And you know, and I love that because I always have liked Jada. And what we're doing here with the Lotus Place, not trying to focus so much on the negativity and trying to move towards the positive thoughts and just re-engineering our thinking so that we can rechannel our energy into something positive. I like the way she said it. Let's not focus on, let me fight you. Let's just focus on let me just build me and let me be.
Right. There you go. Build me.
I don't have time to try to destroy you. I'm trying to empower me. Okay.
Right. So, I love that.
I came across this video with Snoop Dogg. I've been seeing it on YouTube. Never did click on it, but I clicked on it. I clicked on it just to hear what Snoop Dogg had to say. And so this is what he's saying in response to Jada Pinkett's comments on us doing for ourselves.
Good morning, y'all. Now, I normally don't make comments on, you know, political shit or shit that be going on in the media, but I watched my sister Jada Pinkett speak on the Academy Awards and how they don't really, you know, they don't really fuck with black folks, but they use us for how they use us. I feel the same way in the music industry with the Grammys, being nominated for 16, 17 Grammys and never winning one, so I kind of like feel what she's saying as far as great performances and never being, you know, acknowledged. But who gives a fuck? Fuck the Grammys. Fuck the Oscars. Fuck all that old slavery bullshit-ass award show. Fuck them. I'm with you, baby girl. I may not say it as nice or as classy as you, but I'm on the same page as you. And fuck them. They steal all our culture, steal all our slang, steal all our everything. And then they make it cool, and then we can't get no acknowledgement for what we do as far as being originators and creators to this entertainment world, so to speak. So, Jada, this is Snoop. I love you. Appreciate you, what you said. It's so true. I'm going to say it for you the way you really should have said it. Fuck the Oscars. Fuck the Grammys. And fuck any of you motherfuckers who nominate or don't nominate. You old motherfuckers need to shit to get off the pot. I say let's have a hood awards. We give all black folks what they do and deserve. From yesteryear, today, and tomorrow. Because there's some great filmmakers, great actors, great actresses, great screenwriters, et cetera, but we don't get that look that we deserve. So, from Jada Smith, Jada Pinkett Smith, Snoop Dogg, and all the disgruntled black actors and actresses all around the world, I'll say it for them. Fuck the Oscars. Fuck the Grammys. I'm not watching that bullshit-ass show. Fuck them. I'll be smoking dope, kicking it. You dig? Now suck dick or die trying.
I heard that. I meant to cut him before he got to that little end part where he just really went off. But his point being, yes, forget that mess. You know, let's honor our own people. And the Image Awards came up tonight. I didn't watch the Image Awards. I was taking a nap. But I would like to try to catch up. Awards. I'll try to pull it up online like I normally watch anything. But, we have the Image Awards. We have the NAACP Awards, which white people are able to win NAACP Awards, too. Black people always got, you know, got, always got.
Inclusion.
Yeah, we're always very inclusive, even though we're exclusive.
Uh-huh.
You know, we always want to be nice, which is, you know, that's good, because we just have that type of personality, you know. So, I agree with Snoop. I agree with Jada. We just do our own thing. I mean, I'm not into begging people to accept me. If you don't want me in your house,
oh, no.
I'm not going to force my way in. And I commend the people who organized the sit-ins back in the day, but I could not have been a part of a sit-in. I don't think I could have, but I don't know because I wasn't living in that time. Now, me being me now, but I can say that because I didn't grow up in that generation. I don't know what I would have been doing then, but I just don't think that I would have wanted to participate in the sit-ins and, you know, force people to serve me because I'm already afraid of what people do to my food now.
Right.
You know. So.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I know
you're going to give me a piece of your pie.
Like that lady said on what's that movie? These whites only pies.
Right.
Baby, keep your whites only pies. Cause I don't
There's no telling what you're going to do to that pie.
Whites only pies. You can keep it then. If that's the case. Anyway. Not
meant for him anyway.
Keep your whites only pies.
Yeah.
How long should you wait? How long should you wait before having sex with someone? This guy Bernie, he says, when you feel the feeling. When you feel that you don't want to connect with anyone else, then you should maybe consider having sex with someone. If that's what you feel. It shouldn't be a 3-month, 6 months, a 9 months, a year, 2 years. It's when you feel it.
When you feel it. That special feeling.
Right. What do you think, Icy Hot?
Should we
have a certain time?
When you get no certain time, might be 6 months, whenever you get married.
Wow. What you say?
Y'all know this way Ice Hot feels. I don't know why y'all asking all surprised.
And that's okay. Everybody gets to do it. Everybody gets to do it. Everybody has their way.
Of course, if that's
your way, do it your way. And
that's right.
That's why everybody is different.
Okay.
Exactly. We would be very boring if everybody was the same.
That's right.
Can y'all hear me?
And so I'm just thinking, if you're in that situation, you playing by your rules, so you play by your rules. It might be
That's right.
24 hours, it might be 2 days, it might be 2 months, it might be 2 years. Whatever you're playing by, you just play it.
Just play it.
Mm-hmm. So long as it's done after marriage.
So after marriage, I'm okay with that. I don't see anything wrong with that at all. I really don't.
Delta Cougar wants to give her input.
Okay. Yeah, can y'all hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was saying something. Y'all couldn't hear me earlier. I was saying, Miss Hattie, you ain't never. Now look, I mean, not Miss Hattie. I said, hi. You ain't never met a man in your young days, man. And let that man tap that thing, and you ain't let him come, and you wasn't married.
Say that again now. Have I ever done that? Have I ever just wanted to be, you know what? I can't say never, but I can say that it's always, I think, a disappointment for me because
for me, it's just a little bit different. I guess I don't get ruled so much. I'm always thinking, and I don't get ruled so much. I've never been one of these people that's like passionate until I have a commitment. And so I guess in that sense, nothing ever gets me passionate unless there's some commitment there, some heavy-duty commitment. I just, you know, I hear a lot, and I've had friends in my younger days, and my friends, oh, I just couldn't stop. I can always stop, me. I always did.
Me too.
Yeah. I could always control that, but I am a passionate woman. And don't nobody, like I say, like no sex, no better than me. But I want it in certain circumstances. I love it.
Me too. I am the same way. I love it.
In certain circumstances.
Yeah, but I'm just not out here just going to like, oh, I met you. Ooh, let's go have sex. Because I love having sex.
Oh, no.
I love
I think all of us are passionate.
Yeah, well, I like having sex with the person that I'm involved with. Like,
and you know what I'm...
Yeah,
go on. I'm sorry. I'm thinking, I was going to ask, I think Delta Cougar, I was just wondering if it's a geographic thing, if it's geographic or if it's like in a certain area. Maybe it's all that heat down in the south and the delta that make them just hot. Or, I mean, because I hear you talk about, I'm going to just say this. I hear you talk about the young people, and I know some young people like that here in this area and back in Missouri where I was, but that's just kind of not the norm to me. The ones I talk to, unless they all lying to me, and I see.
Well,
so it's kind of like, and what do you call young people? Are you talking about like 18, 20-year-olds? Are you talking 20, 30?
I'm talking about these kids in their 20s and they in their 30s.
I'm not seeing that, like, at that widespread. I think it's some, but I don't think it's, like, the norm. And the way you talk about it is the norm in your geographic area.
But what I'm just saying is the young folks.
You know, when you talk about relationships. You're saying they're just doing very casual kind of sex, pretty much.
Yeah, they don't. They like it's like
some are doing that here, but I don't see it being a lot. I mean, it's a lot, but
it's prominent.
See, I don't see it being that way. So maybe a geographic kind of thing. I don't know.
I don't know. Delta.
Or is it?
Delta. I see it. I do. And I'm so glad that we have these different age groups here. Because I do. I see it. I see these.
And also you got a lot of middle-aged women that's not seasoned and not steady. And what I mean by steady, I mean it's not holding themselves. You got a lot of it going on.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
I'm not saying it's not a lot, but is it? It seems to be the norm. It's like everybody is doing that, and that's not what I'm seeing. Everybody is not doing that. Even the young ones, everybody is not. They're getting married and having children, and some of them are.
I don't know.
So in your area too,
but
Black Rose,
the time we living in, has had a lot of these kids are doing. Middle aged folks are doing it. They don't think nothing of it.
I mean, I know. I
know they are.
And older women.
Yeah, I know.
Having sex, and there doesn't have to be a commitment, no labels, no determination as to what we're doing, nothing. It's just, okay, we're having sex, and it's just sex. I see it quite often.
Mm.
I mean, I've been around females that have said, you know, all I want is some sex from him, and he can go.
Mm.
this. That just seems nasty to me. Because I'm thinking, like, how many other people is he saying and doing that with? That's just like, is. Is.
They just want to have a little rough in the hay with somebody. And
yeah, I know. I can understand that.
So, I don't know. I agree with you on the weight, and I know that some people feel like, I mean, not that I've always felt like that either. I just
right, we change. Like yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We get more mature and learn better, and the health risks change. My goodness, I don't know why people would risk their health like that.
Yeah, and this is a different day and time, too, with all these diseases. Now you have this Zika stuff. Now they're trying to say that the Zika virus is sexually transmitted. So another little scary thing, right when they come up with the AIDS pill and all of this stuff, and AIDS is not a death sentence anymore, now you got this damn Zika stuff coming around. I mean, they're just trying to keep us from having good sex. I mean, you just want to have good sex. Scaring you from damn sex. Like,
you better be scared of some sex.
I'm telling you, I mean, they make you afraid of it. And then, you know, you meet these people. And,
no sex, no babies.
Which is a great sex.
They're trying to cut the population down.
True.
Yeah, I wonder about that sometimes.
Yeah, probably something that's made in a laboratory.
Yeah.
Well, let's get Delta's letter out to her quickly because we only have a few more minutes. Delta?
Yes.
Delta. And this is a good segue into our letter because this letter actually touches on what we're talking about here with the sex. So I'll just make it brief. Let me just pull out the points. Here we go. She's been having sex with this guy. And he's not her actual exclusive male partner. She sees him, and she knows that he sees other people, and she sees other people. Here's the problem, Delta. Delta, she said that one night they had sex without a condom, and she believes that...
It's always one night.
Mm-hmm, probably more than one. But anyway, so she said that she believes that this guy gave her an infection, and she's going to the doctor. But Delta, she wants to know from you, should she tell this guy? Because she, get to this point right here, this was a good laugh.
Go ahead.
Here's a twist to it. She said that. She does, because she's had sex with not only him, but another guy, she doesn't know which one she should approach. That's crazy, man. So she wants to know, Delta, what should she do?
She should approach both of them because she don't know which one of them got it. And not only top of that, she probably done passed it on to both of the men. And then there you go. They spread it on to someone else too.
Yeah.
So she need to go to both of them. And she need to get herself checked out.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm just talking about. Why in this day and age she's calling that an infection? It could just as easily be something that's more deadlier than a cold infection. What kind of infection is it? And then
a new mosquito bite I saw on the news. That new mosquito bite that making the kids' head small. Now
Zika. What?
It's been.
What? It's called Zika.
You remember the new that it's a mosquito. It'll bite you, and if you're pregnant, it'll make your baby have a defect. It's been all over the news. It's everywhere.
Oh, okay.
Now they're saying that you can pass it on. A man can. Anybody can pass it on through sex. they found out that if you got this virus, you can pass it on through sex. The same virus from making their head small. No, but what I'm saying,
it's the way you say it. It's like all of a sudden your head starts to sleep.
No, but what I'm saying, it's deadly. It's killing people. So imagine you having sex and you passing this disease around, and you ain't not. You ain't told the partner, and you sleeping with two partners. She said herself she's sleeping with two partners. Then you keep a passing the disease around and around. And then think about it. Those men are going back to the community and sleeping with other women. with other women. And the women are going through the community sleeping with other men. So you just passing that stuff all around.
All around. Merry-go-round. Mm-hmm. So, Delta, what does she need to do?
She need to go and tell both of them. And both of them need to be tested. And she need to tell both of them because she don't know who she gave it to. She may have passed it to them, sleeping with both of them. She may have been the carrier.
So
she said they didn't. She didn't say she had two of them. She said they both have other people.
Well, but she said that she.
She might have to talk about. She might have to talk about talk to 10 or 12 people.
Mm-hmm. But she said she slept with them. Isn't that right, Black Rose? She said she slept with both of the men.
People. Yeah, she slept with both. She's sleeping with two different men, and they're sleeping with other women. They're having sexual relations with other women as well. And so, see, that's why I say, you know, if you're gonna be doing that, if you are having sex, it needs to be just with one person. If not just with one person, then make sure that you are protecting yourself. And then condoms can slip off and all of this business. So you just still got to be a little careful, a lot careful, rather, I would say. So that's why you may need to just do like Mother Hattie said, like Issa Hart said, just wait. Get your test. If you just must have sex, both of you get your test. Get ready to test for a while. Make sure everybody's clean. And then bring it on and do the do. What do y'all think?
Well, that's true too. But the most important thing is she need to straighten herself up. And she's straightening herself up because she don't want to give herself a reputation going around being sleeping with all these different men.
These people don't care nothing about no reputation these days, Delta.
Now, that is the truth. Now, if they're doing that lifestyle, I think they really don't have that as an issue.
No, they don't care about that. Once you get out of school and all of that, people don't care. But, that's not like it used to be where you kind of wanted to protect your reputation because you didn't want your family to be dishonored by your action. But these people don't care now. They got crackhead moms and dads and folks in jail and, uncles raping. Yeah, these people, they all doing all kind of stuff. So don't nobody care about what somebody thinks about you having sex with a couple of guys. Mm-mm. So the reputation deal, nah.
See, I think part of that stuff came from that, the gang revolution. And so what the gang people were doing is passing the same girl around. She was the gang girl. And, that kind of set a norm for some stuff.
What they used to call, like, running a train on somebody. That's what they used to say when I was coming out.
Well, it really wasn't running a train. It wasn't like that rape thing. It was like they just kind of, that's part of the initiation.
Okay.
And they just, and then, you know, everybody there were together. Probably more like an orgy.
There's still a lot of people having those sex orgies. But anyway, so come to the end of our show. Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in. Thank you, Mother Zola. Thank you, Icy Hot. Thank you, Delta, King B, and thank you, Scotty. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in to the Lotus Place, and we'll be back on Sunday night. Namaste, peace, and blessings, and good night.